What makes low quality kombucha? Grab a booch and let's go. What is going on? Welcome back to another episode. Me and Trev again today. Drinking the booch, talking about the booch.
Not getting cracking.
No, we're not getting cracking. Okay. I hope you all had a great laugh at that. I laughed at myself.
It was great.
What are you drinking on today, Trev?
This blush.
Woo!
Oh my gosh.
This one hits.
It absolutely does.
It slaps. The vanilla and that nice strawberry just came through.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I'm drinking on the Sapphire today.
Yeah.
It's good. This batch is slapping. I mean, I'm telling you.
That blueberry.
And hops. I'm telling you what.
Absolutely.
I mean, wherever, if you ever hear us randomly laughing on this podcast, it's always because where our brewery is and where we record this podcast specifically is at a table that is right near the front windows. And there's always some interesting characters walking by, either coming to our doors, knocking on the glass, trying to make eye connection with us. So that's what it is.
Yeah. There was one time where somebody like put their hands up to like see into the brewery and just looked at us for a little bit. It was a weird one. That was a while ago, but
it's the hand we've been dealt.
It's all right.
We're rolling with the punches.
Hey, we get natural sunlight.
It's awesome.
It's nice to have.
It is.
Yep. We finally, I made a comment a couple episodes ago about our blush not moving. We finally got a palette out. So it's like, oh, okay.
There we go.
We're looking good.
Yeah. All right.
Because that was one of the things that was weird about that was because I made the comment because we produced and packaged more than we doubled it up specifically because it was moving so fast.
Yeah.
And then it slowed down and it just wasn't normal. But we're back at it.
That's just the way it goes.
That's the way it goes.
That's just the way it goes in the booch world. Forever learning.
But this batch, man.
This batch, baby. It was good.
Come on.
So what are we going to be chatting on today?
Well, you already talked about, mentioned the what makes it low quality. We'll talk about low quality, high quality, really the craft element of it. And the reason why.
This is some dicey territory.
It's dicey territory, but that's what we're here for.
This is almost the raw takes on the real episode.
Oh.
We're about to make some ripples.
I think we should. It's all right. Sometimes, no matter where you're at, if you're part of an organization, if you're part of a community or anything, sometimes you just gotta. If something seems a little off, you gotta say something.
You just gotta speak your mind. Sometimes.
To benefit the community.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So we got an awesome message.
Sweet.
From our friend Alex over at the Patreon.
Alex.
He's someone we've had dialogues with since the beginning. He's always been great.
What a guy.
He gave us this awesome message. He said, I just wanted to give you guys a little update on my kombucha journey, which is awesome. Last November, I met Magnus from Lesk at the Kombucha Summit in Berlin, and I'm currently doing a 1-month internship with them here in Denmark. It has been such an amazing experience throughout the first 2 weeks already, and I'm looking forward to all that is to come. You guys really motivated me to go down this path. Helped me with lots of input through the podcasts. We'll keep you updated. I'm curious where this journey will take in this new year. It can only get better. Tips to the booch, Alex.
Dude, what a guy. Off to the races.
Come on.
Just chasing that kombucha dream, baby.
Doing exactly what we recommended.
Dude.
Intern at a brewery.
Intern.
Even if it's not a kombucha one.
Yes.
Just any brewery will give you a massive leg up.
Good for you, Alex. All the best to you and the Lesk crew.
Absolutely. We like Lesk. We have a friendship.
We like
him
from afar.
Yeah. We've had some dialogues back and
forth.
We hope
to taste the booch soon.
Someday.
Sorry. Send us some booch, Lesk.
No comment. yes, please.
Anyways, thanks for that comment, Alex. We appreciate it.
I'm mostly impressed by him saying, hey, you guys really inspired me. Thanks for all the insight. Every time somebody, like, we constantly are making comments about, if you're wanting to go this route, turn back now. Don't do it. We're constantly telling people to do that.
Many times.
And he's just like, wow, thanks, guys. I'm going to keep going. Power to you.
You're the real deal.
That's the right kind of person.
You're the real deal.
To keep going. So, great. Just because it's
all the best,
it's
you,
more than, it's more than just brewing. It's all the other stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Brewing's the fun part.
Exactly.
It's all fun in its own regard. It's interesting, which makes it fun.
If you say so.
I do.
Okay. So he's going the professional route into kombucha brewing. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the distinctions inside of, so it's become, it's grown, it's developed, it's become this massive category. But inside of that category, there's quite a spectrum of experience. And I just wanted to open up, kind of comparing it to maybe like other industries that have a kind of a craft element and there's a regular element, and just kind of talk about some of those distinctions.
Absolutely.
Like we have with other beverage industries.
For sure.
Yeah. So I guess my first question is there a distinction between kombucha at large and then craft kombucha, like we have with beer, like microbreweries or craft beer or draft beer, regular beer?
I think since we're a newer industry and category, that it's probably not as well established. If you were to ask even anyone in the industry, not just a consumer, but just anyone even in the industry, what makes it craft, what makes it kind of like mainstream or whatever you want to call it,
right,
it'd probably just be the size of the company in the general understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably what most people would refer to it as. That's not necessarily the approach that I would take, but...
So craft would be smaller?
Smaller batch.
Yeah.
More hands-on in the processes, things to that degree.
Yeah.
More in-house of the entire process. You know, that's what I think about when I think... When I think about craft, I think about... For some reason, I always go to, like, my mind always goes to woodworking. Mm. And it's just the person's hands are touching the entire process. And that's what I think about when I think about craft. So,
as opposed to, like, mass production, it's kind of more low.
More machinery, more outsourcing ingredients that are already processed. So if I had to make the distinction... And this is no necessarily knock on whichever route you're going.
Sure.
It's just my distinctions would be in-house, like everything controlled and from like basically whole ingredients to packaged kombucha out the door. That's the craft world to me.
Yeah.
And what I would define it in a broad sense. And then... What I would call kind of like the mainstream regular would be more so you are the blender of the kombucha. You are ordering pre-processed ingredients, unfortunately, totes of freaking acid, most large producers nowadays.
Yeah.
And you have tanks that you are creating blends of these things, basically blending and maybe packaging yourself, maybe not even, maybe having co-packers come in and do the work. So not that there's necessarily anything wrong with that. The only thing that I've said multiple times on this podcast before that does bug me about it is the lack of transparency on those things.
Yeah.
And realization that things are still all being sold around the same price because there's no distinctions in that way. Like when you buy a craft, let's take it to the beer world for a minute. If you buy a craft 4 or 6 pack, I mean, you're planning on spending $10 to $14. I mean, that's pretty standard, I'd say, somewhere in that range, depending on what it is and the different elements that are used.
Yeah, I mean, smaller batch, more specific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Higher level of ingredients involved, more hands-on in the processes.
Less easy to reproduce in its exactitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually higher alcohol percentages, which take more ingredients,
right,
blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So that's, but if you're buying a like core mainstream American lager six pack, you're going to be spending, you know, $6 to $8.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty standard because of all those things, less ingredients, more mass produced, less, I won't say less intention because their intention's coming through and those,
sure,
those
sure,
things have risen to the top for a reason.
Right.
But less ingredients and less hands-on nature to it, more automated in the process. And so, but see, the problem is in the kombucha world, there's not really distinctions on those fronts. So we operate under the banner in the industry of kombucha.
Right. And that's
and
it.
There's lots of people that try to incorporate those pieces on their packaging and in their branding and things. And that's great. But I would say the consumer is nowhere in that, in the awareness of that by
this
point.
They wouldn't be able to distinguish something that just says kombucha and then something that says raw kombucha. Because that's usually, or organic is another term that's used. But even that one is kind of a little nebulous.
I would say
inside of this
from
category.
My perspective, most people, I would say the average kombucha consumer is just thinking about kombucha as a healthy alternative soda that's really good for your gut.
Yeah.
That's the awareness
the
that's
extent,
normally
the extent
brought.
Of it, for the most part, yeah.
Not that there aren't other concepts and creators that are pushing that craft side, and their clientele are probably coming to them because of that. There are people
right.
doing it, but I'm talking right. about in the overall general sense. So there is a big discrepancy in that all, and it's kind of hard to know how to exactly go forward with it besides just through channels like social media marketing, in-person conversations and things like this, to where we're more transparent and forward with the differentiations.
I also think that like this has been my experience, is the more you try, the more it becomes more like obvious.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way it is with everything, right? Like the more beers you try, the more you can start distinguishing certain things.
Yeah.
And bourbons and
coffees.
Absolutely. You know, you can start distinguishing quality and can start recognizing patterns. You know, it's the same with kombucha. Like, we're gonna try some kombucha on the Patreon later, but we already tried some today and
from some other producers.
Yeah, and the experience was very like
vast.
Yes, and so, but some of them had some very similar attributes where I could tell like, okay, this is what makes it lower quality or things like that. So I guess question to you would be where does taste come in to being able to distinguish?
Well, first off,
assuming
taste
is
in the taste buds of the beholder, so to speak.
That's true.
Taste is so subjective that
yeah.
it's ridiculous to try to say that these things are qualitatively better.
Okay. Well, then something that I can bet that you would agree with is method.
Absolutely. So,
yeah, which you can recognize through taste.
Absolutely. Things that are, and this is where, you know, not that there aren't different levels of intentionality into the actual craft and differentiations of levels of sourcing of ingredients and incorporation methods and blah, 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 that could
yeah.
make different kombuchas more in value to the beholder, to the consumer.
And just to be clear, we're not the point of this is not to specify one is better than the other. Just no general awareness of the industry and trying lots of different things inside of the industry.
Yeah.
And how it kind of looks, which is unique compared to other industries that have had a lot longer time to develop.
Exactly.
That was the whole point of this entire dialogue.
Yes. That there's not, it's not a, I mean, I have certain things that I look to and look a little bit down upon just because there's the lack of transparency piece right. that's involved. Like
right.
when I see kombuchas, now knowing how to read ingredients labels and being able to, being in the industry for as long as I have now, to understand how the production is actually happening, and then seeing those for the same price tags and same branding words and things on the packaging, when I know that this has been purchased acid from this place,
yeah.
purchased purees from this place, and extracts, and you know, just the things that are basically cost efficient, but then doesn't show up in the transparency to the consumer.
The other thing to that too is the health
viability
of the kombuchas. They are not all the same, and that's complicated. Communicating to the clientele when they're there specifically because they were instructed maybe by a gut doctor to start drinking it, but they're drinking this kombucha that actually isn't giving them any of the benefits that
the
gut doctor sent them to go and acquire.
Yeah, we've talked about that on a previous episode of, you know, health viability of why is kombucha so special and why are naturally fermented products so special. And we've even cited some amazing studies that have gone out there. And the realization, exactly what you're saying, Trev, is that when you're going for the health viability of this thing, but as an average consumer that doesn't know all these ins and outs and is all of that information is hidden, there's no real huge evidence to non-naturally fermented things. There's not a ton. I don't know of hardly any, you know? And so to kind of go under that guise of what people expect from the kombucha, all these living probiotics, healthy acids, the living nature of the brew, all the other properties that are developed through the fermentation of, you know, the ingredients that go into it, like the gingers or, you know, citruses or whatever you put into the brew. When those things are not naturally fermented and just blended, that has massively, and I won't even say exactly what they are, but there's massive health implications. There's massive differences in the health implications of two products that are one naturally fermented, the other blended together and not undergone any fermentation. So that's a problem.
Yeah.
In the transparency piece. Not saying that brew isn't 100 million times better for you than that Coca-Cola, that
right.
Pepsi.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy that I'm not even mad that those are out there.
Yeah.
It's not a distaste for those being in the market. It's more so consumer awareness and transparency piece that I feel is missing in value you're actually purchasing.
Yeah. And the fact that they're both on the shelf, similar price. Is a little weird.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, the way that I see forward in that is just continual education in a non-demeaning or like pretentious way.
Yeah.
You know, because I've struggled with it in past years myself, which when you put as much intention and as much hands-on effort and as much intention into the way, like down to how we process an ingredient and how we preserve it.
How we process it.
Exactly.
Not someone else, how we do it. Yeah.
Or how we craft this and how we craft this amazing living organism and keep it alive and feed it our starter.
Yeah. No, and I was thinking like that's probably a key indicator of distinction is creating your own culture and stewarding your own culture is probably one of the big ones.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so when you put that much into it, it's so easy to get in the brain space of pretentiousness because of how much real effort and intention you've put into this thing. And then you realize that there's some nefariousness that is going on out there in the industry of people that are under the guise of all these things that we've already talked about, and
it's every industry, every
still on, yeah, on the shelf for the same price point.
Right.
Which is a travesty. But so what I think it is just continual
welcome
education.
Welcome to the health and wellness industry.
Absolutely.
In general.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so one of the ways that we're trying to combat that is to basically double down on our marketing and branding in this upcoming year of the craft and the intention that we put into our brews. And realizing that, yeah, $4 compared to that $1.59 soda that's sitting next to it, there is a massive world of difference between these two brews. I mean, the product should probably be way more than we price them at, if you calculated the distance and how much, yeah, intention is put into those two different things. And intention, quality of ingredients, blah, 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 down the line. And so just kind of doubling down on letting people know, hey, this is the process that we do to get to this value. And if you value that thing and you gain enough value, then hopefully there'll be a transaction of value. And that's what we're doubling down on.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the education and intention into being transparent with our clientele.
Yep. So let's toggle gears here for a second.
Let's do it.
So we were talking about like what makes the beverage itself like a crafted beverage.
Yes.
So let's talk about the like craft brewers side of it.
Yeah.
You know, because that's something we do a lot. We use a lot of brewers' language and a lot of language about how we do it, the process in which we do it, because we are very intimate with the method and the process and everything. And that's something that I think we've been intentional about on the podcast, but also, like I said, not just the about the product, but also the process as well. So I want to talk a little bit about why that has been important to us as well. Does that make sense?
The actual process.
The actual process. Well, just identifying ourselves.
As craft.
As craft.
Yeah, it's important.
Craft brewers, yeah.
Yeah, so even in the name switch, Thrive Brew.
Yeah.
It's to indicate in the very forefront of what we do here, we are brewers. We make brews. And that's juxtaposed to what I would call soda making. And that's in various forms.
Yeah.
Which would be the art of the science of blending.
Yeah.
Of just blending ingredients together. So we are brewers, which means everything that you know from, and I mostly look to the craft beer world to gain words and kind of vision for what that means. But it's all the intention of being excited about flavors, to the way that we incorporate things, to the way that we process this and extract these flavors to gain this end result after fermentation in 5-gallon batches. Then as we upscale up to, you know, 200 and plus size, you know, batches, and just the art and process of and intentionality that goes into every single part of that process, rather than, like I said, the sourcing of all these things and just being blenders.
Yeah.
That's what I would call.
Well, I'd also think like
soda makers with added and probiotics.
Yeah. I tried some of those today. I didn't like them. I didn't drink much of it. But I think that that's also like, that's a big shift. You know, I'm thinking about, again, looking back at our friend Alex, you know, who maybe was brewing his own batches maybe at home.
Yeah.
But then wanting to go into it professionally. I think, you know, thinking in terms of craft beverage.
Yes.
Is a huge, I'm assuming, I don't know, is a huge kind of mindset shift into how you think about what you're producing and how you're going to produce and stuff like that. I was curious about what your experience was between, I kind of brew this at home, I'm not diminishing that, just so we're clear, versus going into not just I'm doing this professionally, but I have this similar to craft beer mindset about what I'm producing.
I would honestly see, I would say that every home brewer is a craft brewer.
Okay.
That's how I would look at it. Because the amount of hands-on and intentionality that goes into a homebrew batch of kombucha that turns out well carbonated, well flavored, blah, 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 takes a lot of intention and effort into getting a really good homebrew with the lack of equipment that you have in those settings and the variability that can exist with a live culture in that process. So I would state that now there's obviously ginormous differences in the way that it's produced when you're going from 5 gallon batches to now up over 200.
I guess that's more what I'm thinking about.
Yeah. And the equipment that's used is very similar to, well, I would say it's a blend of beer, wine, and vinegar production.
Yes, yes.
And it's like this, its own, the way we do it at least.
Right.
Is a blend of those three industries into our entire process. But kind of leaning into, I would say, the craft beer and cider world the most out of any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we find ourselves. And that's our passion, is chasing flavor and chasing the health properties that can come by exciting people enough to drink this, but also almost in this amazing, like, not nefarious in the best sense of the word, sneaking in all these amazing naturally fermented things in on them in the journey.
Right. I guess I'm kind of comparing what I've been exposed to here versus,
yeah,
what I've seen a lot in like chat forums, which kind of have a little bit of a echo chamber approach towards kombucha and kombucha brewing.
Yeah.
A little bit, if that makes sense at all. Because, mm-hmm, it's still kind of quite small scale. And the methods or the understanding of certain things aren't quite I don't know that I want to say accurate, but can be misleading if you do end up going a higher scaled route, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
From like a homebrew standpoint, in the first 2 years of this, of Thrive, there was a homebrew mindset.
Yeah. I guess that's what I'm trying to,
operating kombucha brewery.
Yeah.
And it took a while, and it took understanding, especially starter production, since, mm-hmm, we were dead committed to fostering our own in-house live culture for the entirety of the business, since that was a foundational value that we will never break from. Learning how to produce that well, efficiently, and continually on a good timetable without cutting corners was the biggest learning curve. When that was accomplished, learning from those other industries was huge, but that first initial learning starter was the biggest hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got that, it was like bada bang, bada boom. Now we can do this thing.
Absolutely.
That was the piece that, yeah, was the toughest to lock in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think, because when I mentioned again, things I've been exposed to is being able to like visit our friends at beer breweries and everything, and being able to still have a measure of like bonding and being able to like understand each other's kind of problems we've run into, because they've also helped with the most specific things are going to be equipment problems, but
big time,
but still kind of feeling like, okay, it just seems to me, based upon what I've seen, which is kombucha is its own category, but it exists inside of a larger umbrella of like beverage industry.
Yep.
And I think that if kombucha brewers interacted a lot more with that broader category of producers, it lends, one, I think, more credibility to it. But also is more effective in like making it more and more known and having that kind of connection to their environment as well as like the other producers, because there isn't really much competition because it's an entirely different product.
Yeah.
But there is a bonding element there too.
And we employ simple things on a consumeristic standpoint to kind of help with that. Like one of the big things I can think of off the top of my head is incorporating hops into beers,
yeah.
Which is first and foremost because we freaking love them. But, and like I'm the Sapphire, man. I mean, this batch, I'm just absolutely crushing it. But that kind of, for the craft brew, the craft beer world consumer that comes in here, that speaks. That's like a connection point across, hey, this is in that same world.
Yeah.
It just simple things like that.
Could that be like regionally, specifically for us?
Oh, it could be
a big thing.
I don't know. Craft beer is pretty big nowadays, so it's pretty much everywhere.
Okay.
Depending on where you're from, but I feel like simple things like that, like incorporating even just ingredients that are in other craft beverage concepts, bringing those into your concept can help bridge the gap for people that just think of kombucha as a probiotic, healthy lunchtime soda. You know,
right.
And just kind of saying like, oh, wow, we can get crazy cool flavors out of this. Like we can sip this, you know, this can be an inspiring medium, you know, rather than, just another craft soda. Healthy for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's my thoughts.
I like it.
I think we better wrap this bad boy up.
Let's do it. I want to try these other kombuchas.
Yeah, we got to do it. We're going to head over to the Patreon. We got some raw takes. We're going to be live, unpasteurized, raw. It's just bad at this point. We're going to be tasting some other kombuchas from other producers, giving our real raw thoughts over on the Patreon. You can check that out down in the link in the description if you want to join in on that conversation. We got a comment board on there, and we like to interact back and forth. Hope you enjoyed this episode. It always helps. Free way to help this podcast is leave us a 5-star review. It helps spread this whole kombucha concept out there into the interwebs. Lets more eyes get on it. We would appreciate it greatly. Like we said, you can join on the Patreon to connect more, get more behind the scenes content, as well as just ways to interact and talk about all the kombucha stuff. We got nationwide shipping if you want to try some of our brews to see if we're just full of it or if it's worth all the hype.
It is. Spoiler alert.
We distribute regionally. Check the map feature. Link down in the description. If you have any further questions, you can email them to info@thrivebrewco.com. Appreciate each and every one of you that is spreading the kombucha love. Cheers, y'all.